1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 is what we're really going to be preaching on today. It's the verse that I added to those scriptures. Some years ago, I was really, really sick. And I remember it was a Sunday morning, and I could not get up. I was so sick. I had about 104 point something temperature after I had taken Tylenol a couple hours before. I was shivering. I couldn't get out of bed. I was throwing up. Lan took me to the ER. And when you're in that kind of situation, you start thinking about God. What's that?
Sorry, I apologize for the laughter.
Oh, no. And when you're in that situation, what exactly do you think about God? Do you think, where are you? I mean, you're supposed to be blessing me, and look at this. This doesn't feel a whole lot like I'm your child. I can tell you, I prayed during that time. But sometimes God gets lost in the pain. That happens. And that happens to everybody. Believers and unbelievers. Sometimes unbelievers, when there's pain, turn their backs on God because of the pain. And sometimes believers completely forget about God when there's pain. And so where is God when, a Muslim family disowns their son because he became a believer? Where's God in that? And that happens all the time. That's actually kind of normal in the Muslim culture. Or when a Chinese pastor is put in jail for preaching the gospel. Where is God when that happens? And yes, that happens. Where is God when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of Christ? Jesus says, rejoice and be glad. But where's God when that's going on? Now, Peter is in the middle of talking about suffering. As we've been going through this, you know that. We've been talking about this topic for a couple of weeks now because it's central to Peter's book. It's, in fact, probably the reason why he wrote the book, is to instruct the people on how they are to handle suffering when it comes. And I say when it comes, not if it comes. And so we're in the middle of that, and let's read what he's saying. And so 1 Peter 3, I'm going to read verses 13 through 18, which is actually right on the sheet that I gave you. And so you can actually read off of that if you want, or just out of your Bible. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God, being put to death in the flesh and made alive in the spirit. Now, I've told you Peter's telling his readers how to respond to unjust suffering. That's the central idea in this whole thing. And if you want to look, if you're in 1 Peter, not the sheet doesn't have this because I'm going to some verses that are off of that sheet. But in 1 Peter, it's the stuff we've already looked at, verse 9, he says, "Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling." In other words, yeah, you're going to receive evil and you're going to receive reviling. But bless, because for this you were called. You're called to this idea of suffering. Look at verse 14, which is on your sheet. "Even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake." Look at verse 16. "You're slandered, and people are reviling your good behavior in Christ," in verse 16. Look at verse 17. "It is better to suffer for doing good." And then there's that phrase, if it is God's will. In other words, it may be God's will for you to suffer for doing good. And here's how Peter has been saying we're to respond. So this is all by review, by the way. We've already talked about all this stuff. But one, verse 9, "Don't insult back." Verse 9, "Instead, bless." That's what he says in verse 9. "Do not return evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but instead bless." Verses 13 and 14 talk about doing good. "Who's to harm you if you're zealous for what is good? But if you should suffer for righteousness' sake," in other words, you're doing the right thing. Verses 16 and 17, same thing. "Those who revile your good behavior," our response is to do good. Verse 15, how should you respond to suffering? "In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy." And verse 15, "Be ready to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." In other words, be ready to explain your faith. Why do you believe what you believe? So all of those things are part of the response that we're to have towards suffering. Peter says all of that in what we've been looking at. It's not a one thing that he's giving us. He's giving us a whole package in our response to unjust suffering. Now, I am not saying that's easy. Nor am I saying, look at me. In fact, you probably shouldn't look at me. I don't think I handle suffering so well. So don't misunderstand me. All I'm saying is, that's what Scripture says. That's what we're to do. Don't you see we need Christ? I mean, can you do that? All that stuff we just talked about, you know, when they insult you, can you bless them back? Can you do good? Can you honor Christ the Lord as holy in your heart when you hurt? It's hard. We need Christ. Really. Now, we have preached so far through verse 17, and verse 18, however, Peter is bringing Jesus actually into this whole discussion. And so here's what he says in verse 18, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Being put to death in the flesh and made alive in the spirit. It begins with the word for. So you look at verse 18, for. In other words, he's tying verse 18 back to the whole discussion that we've been having. And so verse 17 says, it's better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins. In other words, better to suffer for doing good than evil if it's God's will, for Christ did this. That's his point. It's, you know, this business of suffering for doing what's right? He's saying that's what Jesus did. That's what verse 18 is about. He suffered. And in verse 18, he tells us he was righteous, the righteous for the unrighteous. And so Jesus suffered for righteousness' sake. And look what his suffering did. It brought you to God. Look at verse 18. You see that in there, right? That he might bring you to God. Hear that, guys. Hear that. If Jesus had never suffered, we could not know God. If there were no cross, you and I would be dead in our sins. The cross was necessary so that we might know God. It's not an optional thing. It's a necessary thing that we might know God. Now, that gives a whole lot of meaning to suffering. It gives meaning specifically to Christ's suffering, yes, but I believe it even gives meaning to our suffering. Because when we suffer, we're in a sense in good company. It's when your family criticizes you because of your faith, it's okay. Jesus' family criticized him because of his faith too. If you lose your job because your interviewer finds out that you have this faith that the interviewer doesn't like too much, you're blessed. It's okay. And now, when we suffer for doing what's right, we wonder where God is. We do. But really, Peter's saying we're just following Christ. Christ suffered for doing what is right. And sometimes we wonder, is there really any purpose to this? You wonder it. I wonder it. Everybody does. Well, when Jesus suffered, was there any purpose to it? Is suffering a sign of God's disfavor? You look at Scripture, and I don't see how anybody can look at Scripture and say yes with that. It's not necessarily. God does punish people. He talks in the Old Testament about punishing the Israelites for their sins, and there's suffering tied with that. So, but it's not necessarily a sign of disfavor, though. Look at Jesus. Was the cross a sign of God's disfavor to Christ? No. Here's what Jesus said. It's John 15:20. He said, "No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you too."
That's what Jesus said.
So then, when people do criticize you, insult you, revile you, do evil against you, whatever it is, for doing what's right, when that happens, don't think God has left you. He hasn't left you. Now, Peter is using the example of Jesus here in verse 18 to encourage his readers. That's why it's here. He's wanting them to see Jesus did this. Because the believers in these churches, remember, they're outsiders in their culture. They're not part of the mainstream of the culture. And as outsiders, they were insulted, and they were reviled, and they were looked down upon, and the culture, you know, discriminated against them and persecuted them, and that was going on. And Peter had to deal with all of that. And he wants them to know, hey, you're in good company, in verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. That's why verse 18 is here in this context. It's there for that purpose. And so, praise Him. I mean, if I suffer, God hasn't left me. Praise Him. He's still with me. We can hold on to that. Now, that's why verse 18 is here in this context. I now want to actually look at what verse 18 says. And so it's there to encourage you. But in verse 18, it talks actually about Christ's suffering. And it says some things about Christ's suffering. And so you should see in verse 18 the death and resurrection of Jesus. You see that in there, don't you? He was put to death in the body, made alive in the spirit. He suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. The death is for sins. Once for sins. That's Hebrews talks about that. The sacrifice that Jesus gave was once for all for sin. Hebrews talks about that a number of different times. It's the righteous one in verse 18, dying for the unrighteous. And he died to bring us to God. Guys, that is the gospel. This is the gospel. Verse 18 is the gospel. It's a really good summary of the gospel. And what do you see in the middle of the gospel? Suffering. It's right there, isn't it? Right smack in the middle of the... You can't separate the gospel from suffering. It's a... I'm glad, Shinran, I'm glad you picked the scripture today that you picked when we opened. Because here's what we read in all sorts of different languages. And I was reading it in English. As you guys read in your languages, I would read in English. And so I read this like 5 times this morning. Here's what Jesus said. Luke's writing, he says, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem.'" We read that 5 times this morning in different languages. The Christ should suffer. Jesus is saying that was written like hundreds of years ago in the prophets. They said the Christ should suffer. Now Jesus is saying, that's what the prophets are saying. Jesus is saying the Christ should suffer. Now Peter is saying the Christ should suffer. This is the Peter who, when Jesus said, I'm going to go to the cross, Peter said, oh no, far be it from you to go to the cross. And Jesus had to rebuke him. Get behind me, Satan, he had to say to Peter. Peter was saying, oh no, suffering, that's not for you, Lord. You're going to be Messiah. And Jesus said, uh-uh, Messiah suffers. That Peter has now, we're, you know, probably 30 years later, and that same Peter, who once thought suffering was not a part of Messiah, now understands it, suffering as being central to Messiah and to the good news. Suffering is central to the gospel. The good news is that Jesus died for you, the righteous for the unrighteous. You were unrighteous, you and I are, if you're honest. If you're dishonest, you go ahead and think you're righteous. But if you're going to really be honest with yourself, you know you're not. That means Jesus died for you. The righteous for the unright. That's good news, guys. And he did it to bring you to God. And the good news is the story didn't end with his death. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Now, this idea of suffering being central to the gospel is it's problematic for the prosperity message that you hear. There are a lot of people that preach it. We've talked about it here a number of times, especially as we've been going through Peter, because Peter's dealing with this topic of suffering. But any message that says something like, come to Jesus and you'll get that job you want, that's not the gospel. Now, God may give you that job or he may not give you that job, but that isn't what the gospel's about. It isn't about your job. And sometimes people inadvertently talk that way. Or God wants you to prosper, and he wants to bless you. So you ask him for that, whatever it is, new Mercedes. And God wants you to prosper, and so that's not the gospel. There are those kind of messages that are out there. Those kind of messages aren't from God. I mean, if that's true, that makes you wonder, then did God want Jesus to prosper? He had no place to lay his head. Listen, guys, God does want you to prosper, actually. He really does. It's just that real prosperity is a whole lot deeper than a fat bank account. That isn't prosperity. That's something else. Jesus suffered and prospered, both. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. That's what Hebrews says. Now, God does stuff through suffering, like save the world. He does that. He actually saved the world through suffering. With you, he's not going to save the world through your suffering. He might actually use your suffering to save somebody, though, who sees how you handle it. But he does do stuff through suffering, like force you to trust him. You're going to have to trust him. You're going to trust him or you're going to lose him when suffering comes. He's going to force you to do that. He's going to do things like build your character, develop patience, show the world the glory of God through how you handle it. He does those kinds of things through suffering. Sometimes he brings the suffering in order to bring deliverance. And he wants to bring healing and deliverance to show his mighty power. And so God has his reasons. He really does. I'm not saying I know them all the time. I don't. And you're not going to either. But don't doubt that he has reasons. He's got them. And just trust him. God's interested in bigger things than our comfort. Now it says, verse 18, Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God, who is put to death in the flesh and made alive in the spirit. What that means is in Christ, your sins are gone. Period. No ifs, no ands, no buts. Your sins are gone. You're clean because he died. Guys, believe it. Stand on that. That's the gospel. That's true. It means that we have to stop. Sometimes we play these little mind games. I'm going to use an idiom that the internationals, you won't know, but we play these namby-pamby games, these games with ourselves of, oh, woe is me. I can't come to God because of my temper outburst to my roommate last night. Or I can't come to God because of my lust. Or I can't come to God because of my whatever it is. You fill in the blank with your sin. And we say, I can't come to God. I got this on me. Listen. Do you believe Jesus died for your sins? If you do, then throw out all that garbage thinking. That's garbage thinking. I can't come to God because I've got these sins in me when he just wiped them away. That's nonsense. Don't go there. We're tempted to go there. We really are. Because we see our sin. And we know we shouldn't do it. But in Christ, those sins are gone. They're gone. They're gone. They're not there anymore. So why do we hold on to them? Why? See, we sometimes say our sins are gone intellectually because we know that's the right thing to say. But we don't let go of them in the heart. We turn around and hold on to them as if they aren't gone. We don't live as if our sins are gone. This scripture says they're gone. Guys, verse 18 is either true or false. We're logic today. We had a logic talk earlier today. Verse 18 is either true or false. One or the other. If you believe it's true, then it's time to let go of your sins. If you don't let go of your sins, you're living as if it's false. And so stop beating yourself up with your sins if you're in Christ. I'm not talking about, I mean, there's a real thing about a conscience, and the Holy Spirit works through that. I get all that. I'm not arguing against that. I'm simply saying we need, as Christians, to be free in our minds from our sin because God has freed us. Here's what it's like. I'm going to tell you a story. Once upon a time, there was a man who stole from Walmart. And he was caught, and he was sentenced and judged, and he was put in jail. And his father came and found that he, what had happened. And his father paid his bail to get him out of jail, and also paid the fine that he had to pay for his crime. And everything was paid in full. And the man left. He got out of jail. But he still knew that he had done that wrong thing. And so the next day, he felt, I really deserve to be in jail. And so he went back to jail and went in jail and decided he would stay there. Now, we look at that man, and we say, that guy's crazy. He's a free man. Everything's free. He's paid for. His father's freed him. And he's choosing on his own to go back and live in prison. That's what he's choosing to do. We say, that's nuts. He's free. Why doesn't he just live that way? Guys, here's the deal. For many Christians, that man is in the mirror. Because they do that very same thing. Because they are free and everything has been paid in full and they don't live that way. They actually live as if they're not. As if God's got something on them. They don't really believe the gospel in one sense. They want to punish themselves because they know what they did. But they don't see the cross and what God did. And that's what we got to do, is see the cross and what God did. That we got to see that Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. We got to see that. So that we don't live our lives in prison, so to speak, with our sins. Because the sins are gone. Now we're going to close with communion. And communion is it's a picture of the verse 18. It's a picture of what we just talked about, that Christ suffered for our sins once for all. So I'm going to turn it over to Handy, and he's going to lead us in communion today.